Well, I really appreciate that song this morning. I know that I found it to be true many times in my life. If I could only tell Jesus my troubles, just the reality of being able to unload our troubles to Him and have that confidence that He knows and He understands many times is the antidote that we need for our troubles. And good to see each one of you here today. Last Sunday, we had a thought about freedom and celebrating freedom and how proper it is to be happy for freedom. I'm happy for the freedoms that we have in our nation, and ultimately I'm happy for the freedoms that we can have in the Lord to be free from the power of sin and corruption that brings so much hurt and so much trouble in life. I was thinking about today's service, and I'd like to maybe begin with some of the words of another song, number 66 in our book. The words of this song is seems like pretty important, has to do with being free and being happy. I would say that all of us likes the idea of being able to be free. I live out in the country, and I have two dogs at my house, and neither one of them know what it means to be on a chain or in a pen. They come and go as their will, and far as I know, they don't bother the neighbors. And most of the time, when I'm at home, they're at home. And what they do when I'm not there, I don't really know, other than they eat my dog food. And they seem to like being around me. But they're free to go if they, if they took a notion, they could take off during the night and go somewheres and be gone forever. And I wouldn't know where they're at. But they've got accustomed to being there, but they're free just to roam. And all of us like that freedom. In fact, sometimes freedom can be used for the wrong reason, freedom to make a choice. And we can make a bad choice. But still, we're free to make a choice. And we, as a nation, we valued that. But listen to some of the words of this song. It says in verse 1, can the spirit of a mortal, that's talking about the inner man, you and I, can the spirit of a mortal live beyond the reach of trouble? I don't know. I would just venture, we don't have to get very many people together to where somebody has some trouble they're dealing with. And you don't have to tell me your troubles. I want to encourage you to tell Jesus your troubles. But it says here, can the spirit of a mortal live beyond the reach of trouble? That's a thought, isn't it? I would like to live where trouble couldn't touch me. Wouldn't that be nice? It'd be nice for you to be able to live in such a place where you wouldn't have any troubles. Yesterday I was doing something, and I don't know what I did, but I kind of just barely cut my thumb, and it had a little skin tag there, and it's sore today. Well, that's not a big problem. I mean, I'm very confident I'll recover from that. But, we have troubles. I'm just trying to point out that we all have troubles. Wouldn't it be nice to be able to do your work, do your tasks, do the things you enjoy doing, and never make a little nick on your thumb? Wouldn't that be good? It would. It'd be good to never have a bruise, never fall and bump our head, to never raise up underneath the cabinet door, all of those things. It'd be wonderful to not have any trouble Never have somebody tell you they didn't like you or perceive that somebody didn't like you. It'd be wonderful to be exempt from all of that. He goes on in this first verse saying, knowing not a painful struggle, ever joyful in the Lord. So the painful struggle is, what do we do with this nick in my thumb? What do we do with the bump on our head? What do we do with the disappointment, the rejection, the hurt feelings, the whatever it is that hurts us emotionally? What do we do with that? He says, knowing not a pain, because we struggle with that, don't we? Really struggle when our feelings are hurt and we've been disappointed and maybe we've been rejected and all of, it's something that we have to wrestle with and come to grips with and decide how we're going to deal with, how we're going to cope with it. How do I greet that person that rejected me the next time I see them? How do I interact with them? You know, I'm going to go back here in a couple weeks, and I'm going to see some people, probably. There's going to be people there that I haven't seen in 40 years. That's a long time. And when I walk into that room and they see me and I see them, there's going to be people that I walked, lined up and walked across the stage with at a high school graduation that I'm not going to recognize. You know, I don't know of one person that we departed mad. But what if there had been, what if somebody's has got their feelings hurt at me and held it for 40 years? I don't know. Nobody, I don't know that. As far as I know, I'm not in that position. But what if they've been struggling with something I did or said in 1982? You know, we have those. Y'all know what I'm talking about? There's people around us in our lives that are, maybe you today, are struggling with something because somebody else said something or did something to you. But he says, this first verse is asking us the question, can the spirit of a mortal live beyond the reach of trouble? Knowing not a painful struggle, can we actually be in a place where there is no painful struggles, ever joyful in the Lord? Is that possible? So I want us to look at freedom a little bit deeper than just rejoicing in it. I want to look at what it's made up of and how it can be that we can have a freedom from the power of sin. And in verse 2 he says, He who is our great salvation, who's that talking about? He's talking about Jesus Christ. He who is our great salvation and our high and strong munition, he is the ammunition, he is the armory that's able to take out the struggles and able to give us a peace in the midst of them. He says, is it to us a full fruition? What's it mean, a full fruition? A fruition is kind of like the completion. It's the fulfillment. It's realizing the potential, and not just a partial potential, but a full potential. You know, I want the young children, the young men here this morning, I want you to reach your full potential. I do. I don't want you to become stagnant at 14 years old. I used to threaten my boys when they was at home. And, you know, when they get up to be somewhere between 10 and 14, they can be a lot of help. And I used to tell them, I wish I could squirt something on you and just hold you right there. Because I could get a lot of work done if I had four boys that was 10 to 14. But really, I was just teasing them. I wanted them to be mature. I want them to have their own home. And here he says, he is our full fruition, our full fulfillment in life of his peace and endless joy. Of his peace. You know, there's times that we can't have much peace in our own of our own because we feel we're under attack. We feel we're stressed. We feel that there's trouble and problems all around us because it's hard for us as humanity to grasp a hold of the idea that we could live beyond the reach of trouble. And the third verse says, I, no trouble and no sorrow, see today. Now that'd be quite a thought. I don't see any trouble today or tomorrow, nor will I borrow. I'm not going to borrow any trouble from the future. Lord help us, because some of us can see trouble on the horizon. I would venture today, if I went around and asked you in private, maybe in a whisper, each one of you, do you see any trouble in the future? My guess is almost every one of you would say, oh yeah, I see some problems ahead for our nation, for our state, for our county, maybe in my family, maybe in my own personal life, maybe in my health. All those things, we could all see something. But he says, this songwriter says, I'm determined not to borrow any trouble. Gloomy visions for tomorrow. I'm not going to borrow any gloomy visions for tomorrow. In my Jesus, all is bright. Where do we get our full fruition? Jesus Christ. He said, it's in Jesus, all is bright. Verse 4 says, to my soul, all grace is given, and all gloom afar is driven. You know, it's by the grace of God that we can live beyond the reach of trouble, and only by that. Because if I'm left to my own understanding and my own abilities, I'm going to tell you, trouble is going to come find me. I won't have to look very far, and I'll have some trouble in life. He says in the last verse, Jesus bids be joyful ever. He himself, the wondrous giver, flows within a constant river, and my spirit must rejoice. My spirit must rejoice. You know, we have to live above, and this is going to be a little stretch here, we have to live above our troubles in this life. You know what I'm saying? We need our spirit in tune with His spirit. I'm talking about a level of freedom that's beyond this world. We have to live above that. And by the grace of God, we can. Listen to the chorus. He says, glory to my Savior's name, walking on His holy plain. You know what he's talking about? You know what a plain is? If you have ever had geometry in school, geometry talks about planes. And a plane is something that's defined by four corners, maybe, that is at a particular position. You know, we could put a drop ceiling in here. The old part of the chapel did have a drop ceiling at some time. And we could put a drop ceiling in here and say the plane of the ceiling is 11 feet, 3 inches off of the floor. You know what I'm talking about? We could make a level ceiling in here and do away with this vaulted ceiling, and I hope nobody ever does that, but we could do that. We could have a plane up there. I hope I'm not talking Greek to you, but it could be a level spot. We could define it, couldn't we? We could define it up here at a specific height, and we could give you a length and a width, and we could measure the surface area. That's talking about a physical plane. All right? But he says, glory to my Savior's name, walking on His holy plain. You think he's talking about living about 6 feet off of the ground? He's talking about the inner man being able to walk on a plane that's a, have you ever thought of how nice it would be to have a hovercraft when the road is bumpy? You know, some of these interstates that you get on because of weather or construction or deterioration or whatever, there's a bump ever, however many feet, 100 feet, whatever, 50 feet, and it's ka-bump, ka-dump, ka-dump, ka-dump. It feels like you're on a galloping horse or something, and you're in an automobile, and you're going 70 miles an hour down the road, and sometimes you get over in the other lane and drive there as long as you can just because you think it might be smoother. But what I want us to try to get our minds engaged in this morning is that he is talking about here that in Christ, we can live in a spiritual context above the bumps of my everyday life. Above the, yes, I might have some physical pain. Yes, I may have met some disappointments. Yes, I may have met some rejection. I may have met some things that caused me to feel distressed and not able to hardly cope with life. But in when I take it to the Lord, what was the song that we heard before I got up here? 280. I must tell Jesus. You know what happens when you go and tell Jesus your troubles? It's not that troubles disappear. It's that you can get up on this plane that we're talking about and be able to live there. My peace, this says, nothing can my peace disturb. I'm reading this chorus of verse, song number 66. Nothing can my peace disturb. Freedom. This is where my freedom can come, free and happy as a bird, singing joyful praise evermore. Now, just because I'm trying to live on a plane that's above and separate from the knocks and the scrapes and the disappointments and the pain of life doesn't mean that all of that goes away when I completely goes away. I'm still going to have to deal with it to some extent, but I've got Jesus to help me. But if I don't endeavor to get up on that plane with the Lord, what? I don't have much hope. You see? It's when we look around and we see the world around us, you know, salvation is deliverance. You know, if somebody saves you from drowning, that means you're not drowning anymore, right? So I'm thankful that we can be saved, our soul can be saved, and we can be invited to walk on this plane, this smooth, level, spiritual walk with the Lord right here in this life. But the opposite of that is true. Sin is bondage. And probably one of the greatest ways to picture bondage in our world today, and this is just, I don't mean to be offensive or anything like that, but in our world today, we all know what the term is, or probably familiar with the term, of somebody being a meth head, right? You know what that means. And there's probably a picture, an image that comes in your mind. And that is one of the most, would you agree that that person is in bondage? They're in bondage. And it does horrific things to their minds, to their bodies. They can't hold a job. They can't get along with family. It just destroys their life. So on one side, I'm talking about freedom from that, freedom from the dilemmas of life and being able to take our troubles to Jesus. And on the other side, the reciprocal of that, the opposite of that, is bondage. You know that all sin has bondage? Not all sin makes us turn out like a meth head, but all sin has bondage. And that bondage is we can't turn loose of it and we can't get away from it. And as much as those that are on meth wants to get away from it, it seems like they can't break the habit. Now I want to tell you, I believe that Jesus Christ can break that habit. I believe that with all of my heart. I believe that Jesus Christ can heal the brokenhearted. I believe he can set things right that were wrong. I believe he can speak deliverance to the most bound person that ever walked the streets. That's why I'm in this place today. That's why I believe of the power in the gospel, or believe in the power of the gospel. Notice in song number 71, in the second verse, I believe, he says, first verse, he says, I am free. The Lord has saved me. Saved me from what? From bondage of some sort. When this song was written, I don't know that they knew anything about methamphetamines. But he was writing about something he was delivered from. I am free. The Lord has saved me. I was burdened with sin and bondage and trouble. And he says, then he whispered meek and lowly, come to me. I'll take you in. You know, we all need to hear that. And we all need to respond to that. And the chorus says, hallelujah. Glory, glory. Let us sound the Jubilee. Jubilee was a celebration of freedom, of deliverance. I will tell the wondrous story of the blood that cleanses me. But being free means that we are able to walk on a plane that is above our everyday troubles. Yes, my truck is broke. And that's a true statement. Yes, I've got other troubles, but I can come here and rejoice and know that my soul is free and the Lord will help me with fixing whatever is broke in my everyday life. The Lord will help me with my dilemmas. The Lord will help me with my relationships that are not going the way that I want them to go. But I can be free and know that Jesus loves me. And if something happens to me, I'll be able to live with Him through eternity. That's a freedom, dear ones, that we need to make sure that we are part of. I'd like to turn to 1 John, the second chapter. And I want us to notice here what the writer says. 1 John chapter 2. Beginning in verse 1, he says, my little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. The whole context of the scripture is that we would be obedient to God's plan and avoid the things that brings us in separation to the Lord. He says, my little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin, chapter 2, yeah, that's where I want to be. That you sin not, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. There's that name again, the one that's going to invite us to walk on a different plane, and he is the propitiation for our sins. He is the one that paid the price for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. The whole world. Have you ever thought of what it would be like to be able to just have a debit card or something that somebody else put money in the bank and you could just get whatever you needed? Wouldn't that be wanted? Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? Well, I don't think it'd turn out good. We wouldn't be happy in the end, but that's another story. If you didn't have to pay for something yourself. But anyway, when it comes to spiritual things, Jesus paid the price. It's paid for. We got to confess and repent of our known sins and ask Him to forgive us. He says, and hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him and keepeth not His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. We cannot allow ourselves to go down this path of not accepting the paid up price. He says in verse 5, but whoso keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Another place it says that Christ was our example, right? He was able to live on a plane. When the disciples came back to him and he was at the with the woman at the well, and they asked him if he was hungry and all of this. You remember what he said? I've got food to eat of you don't know anything about. It wasn't literal food. That wasn't what he was talking about. He was living on a different plane. They were concerned about his temporal food, and he was talking about spiritual food. You know, right in the midst of our worst problems, we can know that we're free. And we can live above that. We can live on a plane that's above all of the potholes and above all of the seams in the road and above all of the ruts and all of that by the grace and the power of God. I want us to go back now. In verse 2, he says, and he is the propitiation for our sins, but not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. From the beginning of time, the sins of mankind were rolled forward through sacrifices and offerings to the time of Christ. And when he hung on that cross and paid the price for sin, he paid that price. He paid the price for the sins of those that lived that were his contemporaries, and he paid the price for you and I. Now, I don't know about you, and I used to think I was pretty good at math, but I can't calculate that. I like math classes, and I like to be able to figure things out in my head, and many times I do math in my head, and I try to stay ahead of my wife on the 10 key. And sometimes I can. But I'm going to tell you, I can't calculate this one. I don't know how it works. I just know there's an atonement in the blood of Christ for everyone that has ever sinned. There's an atonement for it. And it's paid up. But it only works when we avail ourselves of it. It only works when we say, Lord Jesus, help me. I don't like the potholes I'm in. I want to live above that. And then he can help us to get up and walk on that plane. If you're in bondage to addiction today, I'm going to tell you there's deliverance. There's freedom in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, you can be delivered from the bondage, whatever it might be. And then the next 4th of July, you can celebrate, well, you can celebrate it before the 4th of July. You can celebrate being free from the bondage of sin. I'd like to turn to Hebrews, the 9th chapter. And I want us to notice here, Hebrews chapter 9, I'll begin reading. I'm looking at the clock and I'm thinking about what I'd like for us to get a hold of. Maybe we'll start in verse 11. It says, but Christ being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, and he's referring to the Old Testament tabernacle and being greater than that. Not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood, that's this building here will not save us from anything. Well, you think about it. Tornado comes through here, Don't go running in this building. You might get under it. Might help you. Flood waters come. You know, if the flood water comes up about halfway on that window, it's coming inside, folks. We're not going to be safe. The Lord Jesus comes back looking for us all. He's going to find us. This building's not going to save you, but I'm going to tell you something that will. That's Him. He's a high priest. Verse 12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for who? For us. You can be free. Through Jesus' name, you can be free from bondage, from sin, you can walk on a plane that don't have the potholes in it. And yes, your feet might be hitting the ground, but your spirit can be up here somewheres. It can be smooth. He says, for if the blood of bulls and goats and of ashes of heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, if that did it, if it did it, you know, it's a big if. All it did was roll it forward to the time of Christ. He said, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? The blood of Jesus cleanses. That's another song. The blood of Jesus will redeem us. He says, for this cause, He is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, that they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. We can be part of that eternal reward in the testament. We can have freedom through Christ. He says in verse 16, I'm going to stop here after maybe this verse or the next one. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. Sounds like legal talk, doesn't it? For a testament is of force after men are dead, otherwise it is no strength at all while the testator liveth. If you have a will, it probably says on it, the last will and testament of, and whatever your name is. And in there, it's probably going to give your name. And if it's a husband and wife, it may say, he and her, hereafter referred to as the testator. Okay? As long as Jesus was alive, he was preaching what the New Testament was all about. But the power to save mankind from sin abroad didn't come until He shed His blood. In the power of the will, I can say, I'm going to give everything I own to my next door neighbor, but he don't get none of my stuff until I'm dead. Right? Jesus, the power came when Jesus gave His life. And the New Testament came into play, and that is the most powerful thing that mankind has ever witnessed. Not all, they don't just give you a free card to swipe so you can get a gallon of milk and a loaf of bread and a full tank of gas. It's much more than that. It's a ticket to where you can walk on a holy plane above the troubles of this life. You can go to bed at night and know that you can unload all of your troubles. Lord, you know all about my broken this and broken that. And you know about my disappointments with this person and that person. And Lord, would you help me to be able to sleep tonight and not just lay here and twiddle my thumbs and scratch my head all night. And He can bring a peace that passes understanding. And that's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about walking on this plane. And there can be a level of freedom that other people will look on and they don't know how you do it. And it's not you doing it. It's the testator has died and shed his blood where the New Testament, his will and his testament can have its effect in our lives. I'm so grateful that the testator has left us in his will. I'm so glad that we can live above our troubles, because I don't feel like I have a lot of troubles, but I got more than I want. I got more troubles than I'd wish for. And, you know, if we started comparing troubles, I don't know if any of us would want to trade. You know, I might have bigger problems over here and you might have bigger problems over there, and we start scratching our head and think, boy, I wish I didn't have this trouble over here. And they don't look like they got any problems over the same place I got problems. And you start talking to them, you're like, boy, I don't want none of yours. I don't want none of your troubles. The Lord can help us walk on a plane above that. That's what this freedom is all about. If somebody thinks that salvation is going to keep your truck from breaking down, keep you from snagging your fingernails, and make everybody say, I love you, well, I'm just sorry. I'm going to have to tell you the truth. It's not going to fix all of that. But I'll tell you what it will do. It can help you walk on a plane that the world don't know nothing about. Wouldn't you like? Well, let me ask it a different way. I'll tell you in a different way. We can get in a spiritual hovercraft where we don't have to anguish over the pain. Are we going to have some troubles? Yes, we are. Is it going to cause us to shed some tears? Yes, we're going to shed some tears in this old life. But I'm going to tell you, we got to find a peace in Jesus. He's the one that can lift us above our troubles. I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be able to rejoice and celebrate your freedom. But understand where that freedom's at. The freedom is the bondage of sin has been taken away. I don't experience all the repercussions of the sin going on around me because I'm hid away, as another song says, I'm hid away with Christ. I'm trusting Him. I'm leaning on Him. I'm asking Him for wisdom. There are many times when we're living on that plane, we're going to have to ask the Lord, Lord, what do I do here? I don't know. There's no matter how many answers to problems you have, you're going to find your place, yourself in a place you don't know the answer. And that's where we turn to the Lord. Learn to turn to the Lord when our problems are small. And when our problems get big, we'll know how to do it. I love you all, and I want you to be able to live on a plane where there's freedom. You pray for me.